Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. We are glad to have you here today. So, build's coming up. I wore my PDC-09 shirt today. I couldn't find a build shirt in my closet, but I had this one, so I threw that on. I'm getting excited. It's going to be cool.
What else? Any highlights?
Nothing that I can talk about. Yeah, but it'll be cool. Don't worry. Let's see. And then we asked people last time to write us and let us know what kind of cool stuff they got for Christmas or, you know, whatever holiday they're celebrating. And Robert wrote with one that was kind of interesting. He got a present. It was an endoscope USB camera, which looks really cool. It's interesting. I mean, now it's $20. So I think that's part of what makes it so cool is it's a very affordable. The one we were looking at, 5 meters, you can upgrade up to 15 meters. So wire poles, who knows? I mean, the mind reels with the things that you could do with this.
The mind shudders.
Run wires, come on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you hook this up, it doesn't look like it's on a gooseneck or anything, so it doesn't...
Yeah, be a little tough to control.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you probably want to hook it up to some fish sticks or something if you're running wire, or if you needed to go any kind of significant length.
Yeah.
Or if you had, you know, a fish tape if you're going down a drain or something with them. But, I mean, you hook this up to, you know, a tablet.
Yeah, so the $60 tablet that we were talking about a few shows back, one of those
which
would
you
be
bought
perfect.
A couple of those.
Yeah, we got some. That's what's running these screens now.
Right.
So, and it's cool because, you know, we'll be able to put those on the back of the TVs and just come up and swipe through the images that we want for these. So it's awesome for a single purpose device. It's amazing. But if you had one of those hooked up to this, you've got like a little portable like video endoscope system that you could... I don't know why you keep laughing, Gove. Come on. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I'm just...
At least send that thing down to see what's there.
Yeah.
The other thing it has, too, that's kind of neat is there's little things that attach to the end. So you've got a magnet, a hook, so you can hook that tumor up out of there. And
and a mirror.
And a mirror.
To look at yourself and shake your head and go, why am I doing this?
A mirror to look at the regret on your own face afterwards. And then, you could look around corners, you know, the mirror's at an angle, that's kind of cool. So yeah, there you go,
User submitted photo. Buyer beware.
Yeah, be careful, we should look through the photos before we go clicking on them. So yeah, thanks Robert, that's awesome.
You
sold two
order
more
one of these.
Here, because yeah Gove's gonna buy one. And
it's like, you know what, that's a cool toy. Every now and again, you just never know when something like that is gonna be useful.
I'll put it in my emergency medical kit. There we go. All right, next up from Eduardo, he says, is it possible on Windows 10 to skip or suspend indefinitely one update in particular, as I could do in previous Windows versions by simply flagging the update?
So through the UI, you can't because we've gone into this mode where we're saying, you know, we want you to be up to date all the time. You're having a particular issue with one update. I was looking through it where Windows Update, for whatever reason, is trying to jam down a driver that is not applicable to your system. So, yes, because we know not everything through the UI is perfect and not everything is hunky-dory, what we'd actually prefer is to just take that update off of Windows Update, which I'm following up with, you know, as a side thing. Mm-hmm. But we do have a script that if you contact CSS or contact me, we can give you to actually hide specific updates that are trying to be installed in your system. You know, this is the script. It'll search for applicable drivers that are trying to be pushed down. I don't have anything on my system that will do that. But I can share this script in the show notes that will just basically run through what is currently hidden. You can hide them, unhide them. You can choose which updates are going to be installed for drivers. It doesn't help for other updates like for flights or anything like that.
Yeah.
But there is a way to do it. We just don't want everybody to do it. What we actually want is the feedback and the telemetry that says, hey, something is wrong, so that we can go fix it on the back end, and so everybody's fixed all at once rather than individuals.
It's all about scale.
Exactly.
All right, so next question from Magical Click, who wrote in the Coffeehouse forum. I used to just go get my user folder and copy the fave folder for backup, and Edge doesn't seem to do that. How do I convert it back to those simple files to backup? Craig Matthews responded and said the URL files from favorites seem to be here for Edge, and he's got local app data, packages, Microsoft Edge underscore bunch of things, /AC, /Microsoft Edge, /user, /default, /favorites. There you go. But you were saying...
But why bother? You don't need to back up anything. Everything is synced in the cloud.
Yeah.
So Edge favorites will just sync with IE and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You don't need to copy anything around. You just sign in with your MSA. Everything is backed up immediately.
Unless you didn't use an MSA when you...
Unless you didn't use an MSA, but then you're losing out on the easy backups.
Yes.
Right?
That is true.
You don't have to do any of this manually.
But if you use an MSA, you don't have to worry about that. It's right. just going to be there. All right. Next question. When I open a remote desktop connection in my desktop PC, Windows 10 Enterprise, from a tablet, Windows 10 Pro Insider Preview, the connection is successful, but it seems that my desktop PC is making an entirely new user for this connection. Because my usual desktop taskbar icons aren't there, my current opened and used applications aren't open, even on the taskbar, and I can't access my local user files. I'm logging at the same user account, which I always use when working on my desktop PC. Is there any way around this?
One, it actually makes no sense that this is happening. Like, the only time when you would actually open up another connection using the same user account is if you're connecting to server. Mm-hmm. But the whole scenario sounds very strange to me. I'd actually like to see a video or something of this.
Yeah.
Because I myself have not encountered this. But if you want to try something, run MSTSC WAC console /console to connect to the already existing connection. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I can think of is the machine that you're trying to connect to for whatever reason already logged you out.
Yeah.
And then when you're logging in with the remote desktop connection, it's logging you in as a new session because there was no previously existing session.
Yeah.
But that is, like, given that limited piece of information, that's all that I can give you.
Okay. All right. Good enough. All right, next one from Daniel. Hey, longtime watcher of the show, and I have a question. I've been able to update Windows from build 10.5.86, and every time it tries, it gets a blue screen of death saying video DX kernel fatal error.
Uninstall all of your existing video drivers before trying to do the upgrade.
Okay, cool. Next question I have was essentially a service account called Scanner on my Windows 10 computer. It was set up by an IT contractor. I'm an administrator and the Scanner account is not. How can I change the picture for the account without logging into that account?
Well, you could log into the account. That's obviously one thing that you can do. The other thing that you can do is create a file, a BMP, with the username, so scanner.bmp, and put it into the C user scanners app data local temp directory.
Okay.
But I believe it still won't actually get recognized until that user account has been logged in, because the profile just won't be read.
Okay.
Can't be certain of that, however. What you could always do is, since you're an admin on the system, you can always change the password to the scanner user, log into it, and set up a user picture.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next question. Is it possible to set HTML5 file as a desktop background in Windows 10?
No.
No. Sorry.
I'm not entirely certain why one would want to.
Yeah. We had a long discussion about this before the show, and I agree with you now. So there you go.
I'm assuming it is an HTML5 file because you want to watch a movie or some sort of motion.
Looping video for an animated desktop and things, and that's aesthetic thing. It's not.
I think Stardock does something like that. I never look at my desktop long enough to care about those things.
Yeah.
So.
But the long and the short of it is, you can anyway.
Not with anything native inbox.
Yeah.
Is. I'm sure you can do a shell replacement that will do what you want it to do.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Next question. I have a genuine Windows 8.1 that came with my PC. The PC has a 32 gig SSD that's barely enough for my programs. I want to upgrade my SSD to 64 gig.
Like, why stop there?
Yeah. We're going to get the same question later on down the road. I want to upgrade my SSD to 64 gig so I have more storage. Now, I don't want to lose my genuine OS, so I'm being careful about the upgrade. One, can I use Windows USB DVD download tool to install my OS again and then just put my new key on, or put my key on, not my new key? And two, if yes, can I install Windows 10 on the new SSD and then just put my Windows 8.1 key instead of installing Windows 8.1 and then making the upgrade to Windows 10?
So here's what you do. You buy what the Samsung Evo 1 terabyte SSD, which I believe is going for like $300 now, which is amazingly cheap for a 1 terabyte SSD.
Just got some of those
right
the other day.
Go bigger than 64 gig.
Okay. Yeah.
Take out your old SSD. Put it away somewhere. Take your new one, install it. It'll be fresh. It'll be blank. Okay. You get Windows 10 build 10586 minimum. That's the November release. You install that, you boot from it, create a bootable USB, boot from that, install it. Don't input any kind of key because your system, you said that the system came with 8.1.
Yeah.
And judging by the small size of the SSD, I'm guessing that, you know, it is relatively recent. But its key will be baked into the firmware, mm-hmm. or at least it should be baked into the firmware, unless you didn't actually get a genuine one. But we'll
see. Longer story.
Longer story.
Yeah.
Anyways, just install Windows 10. Don't try to input any key. You get to the other side. It will use your 8.1 key. It'll activate. Everything will be good.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Don't bother trying to clone anything. Just start from scratch. Just start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next question. I have a desktop PC, Windows 8.1, a Microsoft Surface Pro, and an HP Spectre 360X, both Windows 10 576. The desktop PC is equipped with a Brazilian Portuguese keyboard with ABNT2 keys layout. The other two computers are made in the USA, so I use US International keys key layout on those. All three computers are associated with the same email account. They all use the same email login. My problem is that the keyboard layout roams from one computer to another. So when I'm on my desktop and set the keyboard to ABNT2, the other two computers change the same layout and vice versa, and it's driving me crazy. Is there a way to remove the keyboard layout from the roaming profile?
Sort of, yes. Okay, so you have the three computers. Turn them all off, turn one on, okay? And then go to your settings, go to your account, choose sync your settings. Right here, turn off language preferences. While you're at it, in order just to save a bunch of headaches later on, also turn off ease of access. Trust me, what you don't want to have happen is for some machine to have ease of access turned on, then it roams out to another machine, and then the on-screen keyboard comes on as a real pain on the butt.
Yeah.
So turn off those two. In fact, I'm doing that right now. Okay. Let that machine sync. It should sync essentially immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Then turn that machine off, turn another machine on, do the exact same thing, turn that one off, turn the other one on. That way, everybody syncs that particular preference to the cloud. All, like your MSA, will, every time that a machine has come up, will say, oh yeah, this should not be synced.
Yeah.
Right? Then all of your machines should be good in that none of those language preferences will actually roam to different machines.
Yeah, cool, awesome. All right, let's see, next question from Blake. How do I keep my desktop icons where I put them on 8.1? They keep getting rearranged upon reboot.
Now, here's an interesting one. Do they get rearranged if you just log out? And where are they exactly when they're rearranging? Because usually this is an indication that Explorer is crashing and it's not saving its settings on exit. If you log out, does the same thing happen? Or if you log out, do your icons get arranged? The other thing is to make sure that you don't have auto-arrange icons or align icons to a grid setup. So just make sure you turn those off. And again, on all of your machines, make sure that if you have desktops or if you have icons roaming on your desktop, that you know they all set up properly. Usually, for myself, as you can tell, I don't show any icons on my desktop. Usually, yeah. It doesn't matter to me. But I know a lot of people do care about it, but I usually stick it into a folder if I care about that and put the folder on the desktop mm-hmm. and then open the folder and then all that's there. And I know you like a particular app. Was it Fences?
I did. I'm not using it anymore. Nobody got time for that. It's just too much. I did use Fences. It was really cool. It was a way to, you know, organize your desktop backgrounds, a StarDock app.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could group them together and I just don't use it anymore.
Right.
So now, on this particular machine, I mean, there's a lot of work being done on this, so I just have folders all over my desktop and I hide them to try to get my OCD to accept the world that I live in. So I'm the realist in your background. All right, next question from Toby. I bought a wireless adapter. It works perfectly with my Surface. With my Dell laptop running Windows 7, have all the latest drivers from Dell. I enabled logging in the registry. Can you decipher what the issue is from the log file?
I don't believe I actually got the log file. And I think this, did you call it the wireless display?
Yeah, it's a wireless adapter.
Wireless adapter, so just a regular Wi-Fi adapter.
I thought it was a wireless display adapter.
I thought it was a wireless display adapter as well. Not all Win 7 machines will be able to use it. You have to have something that is wide-eye capable. Mm-hmm. So yes, Surface Pro can absolutely use it, but not necessarily your legacy devices.
Dell laptop running Windows 7 sounds like it might be a little older than that might allow.
It had to specifically be wide-eye capable.
Okay. All right, pick of the week time. Time for the pick of the week. So the first one is the HoloLens final vote. And by the time you watch this, you'll know who the winner is. But it's still 5 hours away, so we can't say who won. But what happened here was they asked people, what are some of the interesting projects that you'd like to see on HoloLens? And then they pick three of them, and you get to pick which one they're going to work on. And then they're going to code those and show you how it's all done. So kind of interesting, they've got an Airquarium, which is, you know, a virtual augmented reality aquarium that you could have somewhere in your house.
Well, it'd be everywhere in your house.
Or, yeah, I mean, I guess, it depends how they do it. You could have, like, anytime I look at that table, it's really an aquarium now, mm-hmm. and so you've just
Or everywhere you walk, the aquarium follows you.
You could do that. You could do that. You could say, I want that wall there to be an aquarium. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. And then grab the idol.
I just
which
want
is...
one fish just to follow me all the time.
Yeah. One disturbing, weird fish that talks to me randomly in meetings. And then grab the idol.
I shall
idol.
Name it Clippy.
Oh, real world Clippy. How did that one not end up on the list? Because everyone would have voted for that. Make Clippy pop up while I'm sitting there in a meeting and say, you sound like you're about to fall asleep, do you?
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you remember the old Flintstones TV show?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember the Great Kazoo?
Yeah.
You just pop up every now
Yeah.
And again.
Like an alien in this old prehistoric it made no sense whatsoever. A complete non sequitur. So and Clippy, by the way, $1 million idea, we give it to you for free. Make Clippy appear everywhere in my life.
Just randomly.
Yeah, just randomly though. And then grab the idol. It's kind of a cool Raiders of the Lost Ark thing where you're jumping over lava. This is kind of like what every kid does. You know, you're looking at the tiled floor and thinking the black ones are lava and, you know, I got to walk everywhere else. So that kind of thing. And then the Galaxy Explorer, which you can zoom through time and space.
Find that elusive 10th planet.
You can. Ninth planet.
Well, I still count Pluto.
I do too. So I'm glad you did that. That's an interesting one too. Oh, yeah. There's just
it was just hiding. It was just back there.
Don't worry. It's only 58 times bigger than the Earth. It's nothing. Yeah. You just missed it. That happens.
Oops.
That happens, yeah. The next pick of the week that we had was a new Kickstarter campaign. And there's actually a lot of these out there. So this is a 64-bit small device. Was it SBC?
Single chip computer.
Single board?
Single board computer, yeah.
So, yeah, kind of cool.
For
Yeah, and again, this is like the Endoscope. It's so cheap, it makes it compelling.
For $20, for $40, like, yeah. Like
yeah, it just keeps going down.
It doesn't matter which price, they're all good.
So scroll down, look at that chart again. Let's see what they've got there. Yeah, $19, $15, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I mean this, the Cortex A53 is an upgraded beyond the Cortex A7, which is the Raspberry Pi 2, which Windows IoT runs on the Raspberry Pi 2.
Yeah.
So I would fully expect that at some point in time, IoT will be running on this too.
Yeah, and you know, it's so amazing that, you know, you're talking about a robust computer for $15.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing times we live in. Very cool.
Speaking of the Raspberry Pi, my pick of the week this week is the Pi Hole. you just want to cram it down your Pi
LCA's
Hole.
LCA's going to love this show.
I know, right?
Be like, oh my gosh, stop. So what is a Pi Hole, Gove?
So the Pi Hole is basically a DNS pass-through system that runs on the Raspberry Pi. You plug it in at your router.
Yeah.
And you basically just change your DNS server on your router to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that DNS server. You can set it up to go to like OpenDNS or your regular ISP DNS, whatever, it doesn't matter. But what this will do is it'll just cut out all ads.
Yeah.
Ads and malware, I should say. It does multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
My specific use for it was making sure that malware was essentially cut out, because I know that a lot of the vectors nowadays have been for malware to infect ad networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then because those ad networks are so proliferated throughout all of the websites you trust, but the ads that are served from that website can be compromised. So what this does is it just eliminates that entirely. And when the great thing about it covers all of your devices in the network. Like, you don't have
That's
to set up
cool. Yeah.
Any kind of add-ins into the browser to do it. You know, there's lots of ad block extensions mm-hmm. into IE and Chrome and Firefox and stuff like that, but you have to do it per device. And you can't do it on your phone, or you can't do it on a Windows phone, but if you root to your iPhone and your Android, then you can do it. Well, mm-hmm. Android, you could do it regardless. But this just covers all your devices all at once. I've noticed zero perf degradation whatsoever on my network.
You still browse Forbes, or they see that you didn't accept the ad in the browser and
I haven't
stop
tried.
You?
I okay. have not tried.
That would be interesting to know.
I would have to see what happens.
Well, try it out and leave us a comment in the show notes. I'd love to see that. But yeah,
why specifically Forbes?
Well, just any. I mean, any, because a lot of content publishers now are like, mm-hmm. well, if you're not going to take the ad, we're just, you know, come back when you turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a point of contention.
Interesting.
So I
know, like, when I was testing the Huffington Post, for example, because that one is that is a very slow site because of all of the JavaScript and ads that it runs. When I pointed it to that, it was like, much nicer reading experience.
Hmm. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I like
Not that I actually read Huffington Post, but I just needed some site to test.
Yeah. So there's three other Kickstarters for different devices like this, and we're going to link to them in the show notes. You can check them out, see which ones you like. But really cool stuff. And I've got an NPR article that I'll link to talking about small devices like this. So that is the show for this week. If you have questions, write us at defragshow@microsoft.com, and we will see you next time.
Take care.